Hello everyone, this is Steve Martin. Welcome to Stars on Tap. Today is July the 15th, 2014. Our very special guest today was responsible for writing and producing and most other things that were Isley Brothers. He is formerly of the Isley Brothers, formerly of Isley, Jasper, and Isley. This is Chris Jasper. Welcome, Chris. How are you?
I'm very good. Thank you.
I'm glad to have you on today.
Yes, great to be on the show with you.
It's a little warm here, but you know, it's summertime. You doing all right wherever you are?
Oh yeah, well I'm here in New York and it's warm and muggy and rainy, but you know, it's still all good though.
Oh man, it ain't snowing, is it?
No, that's it. As long as it's not snowing. It's fine.
Man, I tell you what, this past winter, it seemed like every time I got up to go to work in the morning there was an inch at least of snow.
Oh yeah.
It really was. It really was. And it's just kind of unusual for Kentucky to get that much snow. But hopefully that was a once every couple of years thing. So anyway, what I thought we would talk about is tell us about your time and your role with the Isley Brothers.
Well, we had a kind of a long run there back there in the 70s and 80s.
Mm-hmm.
I was like officially a member of the group maybe about 14 years, but people didn't know that I was a member of the group until 1973 when we had that lady, that 3+3 album.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I and Ernie and Marvin appeared on the cover with the Older Brothers. So I guess that's, you know, when people recognized us as a member of the group. But yeah, we were working together for, you know, at least 13, 14 years.
That's amazing. What type of work were you doing? I know, you know, you produced and arranged and wrote, but tell us a little bit about those times.
Yeah, that was you know, we started in the times when, you know, the whole band would be in the studio together and play all together, and the recording would be done all at once, you know. But those days are long gone. But it was a lot of fun doing it that way. That I learned a lot. You know, I was also studying in college. I was studying composition at the same time. So those were very busy years for me. But again, I learned a lot, and it was a lot of fun.
So what were some of the your hits that you produced and wrote for the Isley Brothers?
Oh wow, A Highway to My Life. That Lady I co-wrote with Ernie and Marvin, Live It Up, that was one of my songs. Mm-hmm. Fun Love You was one of my songs. Sensuality, gee, there were so many of them. The Pride, Showdown.
Wow.
There's so many of the songs. Between the Sheets was also a collaboration between me and Ernie. You know, that whole catalog has a lot of my keyboard playing and writing and arranging on it. So, you know, for a large degree, that, you know, that's kind of my sound, you know.
You know, recording doesn't appear or seem to be the same today as it was then. Like you said, you all were in the studio at the same time, and today it seems like they bring in one guy and he lays a track down, another guy lays the track down, and you may not even hear the whole song until it's done.
That's true, yeah. And, you know, with the technology, you can send your tracks, you know, miles, you know, across country. You know, somebody can play another part, you know. One guy be California, one guy be in New York, you know. You don't have to be together nowadays. I thought there was a certain vibe when that happened, you know, when you were in there together. Like when we did songs like Love the One You With, you know, or Work to Do, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There was a certain vibe, you know, with the band, everybody in there. You know, you count the song down, and then you start, you know. It was a different kind of energy, you know.
Oh, it absolutely was. It was kind of build as you go, I guess.
Yeah, it was. You know, it was almost like a live show, but you were recording it. You know, that's kind of what it was. It was great. A lot of fun that way.
Well, you know, that takes a lot of talent to be able to do that, because, you know, the cost of the tape and the cost of everything compared to what you can do with just a laptop today, you had to go in there and cut it and get out.
That's right, and a lot of, you know, lot of the parts were written out, so musicians have to be able to read music, you know, read the charts. So, yeah, it was more involved, you know, than say recording is nowadays.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I was talking with Charlo Crossley and the Supremes. I think it was last week, and they were telling me how when they went into the studio, they really didn't read no music. They just kind of started a beat, and the next thing you know, somebody would put something in there, and you know, it was a whole lot different today. I mean, they don't do that anymore, I don't believe, or not very often.
Well, you know, maybe certain bands do record together, but it's not very many. You know, a lot of the records are produced, you know, sometimes by, you know, just a few people or one person. Like, I do all of my tracking, you know, myself, you know. But I do it in a way, see, I have the old school experience. So the way I track may be different than someone else.
Sure.
You know, I'm playing it as though, you know, there's a session and I play the part all the way down, you know, because I want to create that feeling of a band being, you know, in the studio.
You got to have talent to do that. I'm convinced you do. Absolutely.
Yeah, you got to be able to play an instrument. You got to be able to play.
It helps, doesn't it?
Yeah. Helps a lot.
Yeah, I'd imagine so. After the Isley Brothers, became involved with Isley, Jasper Isley. You want to tell us a little bit about that?
Well, that was kind of our return, the younger members of the group. That was our return to the trio we started off as. We started off, you know, at this business with a trio. We called ourselves the Jasmine Trio. Ernie played drums, I played piano, and Marvin played bass. And that was how we started out before we joined up with the older brothers. So Isley Jasper Isley was the return to that, and it was... you know, it was the same experience recording because we did all the music, you know, we wrote songs. So there was no difference there. I guess the only difference with Isley Jasper Isley was that we kept our lead vocals. And that was the only difference, you know, in recording.
Now, how long was Isley Jasper Isley around?
We did three albums.
Okay.
Broadway's Close to Sunset Boulevard, A Caravan of Love, which was the big one. And we did another album called Different Drummer.
And what hits came out of those albums?
Oh, Caravan of Love was the big hit from it. Also, Insatiable Woman was another hit from that. I guess those are the two biggest ones that came from there.
You know, for a living, I work in a hospital. I do physical therapy, and what I like to do is talk to patients about, you know, the music they grew up with and that sort of thing. For the last week, I've been talking to folks about having you on, and I've got another set of Supremes coming on tomorrow. They say that music is not the same as it used to be, and they miss a lot of the Motown sound, and they miss, you know, a lot of the classic rock that came around. What your opinion on that?
That's true. It's changed quite a bit. I remember when I was coming up, there was more variety within the genres. For example, in R&B, you had Earth, Wind & Fire. You had the Commodores. You had James Brown. You had the Isley Brothers. You had Kool & the Gang. You know, you had all of these different groups in one genre. And that variety doesn't exist anymore. You know, you have a lot of groups, a lot of artists, I should say, sounding pretty similar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm tracking my record, you know, on radio stations, and I'm listening for it, you know, seeing who's playing it. And I'll have the radio on for a while, and it's almost like, you know, I've heard the same record like 30 times, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because the sound of the song are so similar. You know, they have different singers on them, of course, you know, but I'm talking about just the music. You know, whoever produces it, they seem like they use the same and similar sound. You didn't have that before. You know, you had a lot of variety, like I was saying.
You really did.
You had Motown included, and you had Philly, you know, Philadelphia International. You know, you had Stax. you know. So it all in one genre, and that's, to me, that's the biggest difference in the music today and the music, you know, I'll say the 70s and 80s.
You know, even a radio, which is, I assume, a lot of what you're talking about as well, but, you know, I started out in country radio, and now we're mostly all males in top 40 country, and everybody wants to sing about a truck, and they want to sing about drinking the beer and the women and that stuff. And honestly, and I have met, you know, probably 90% of the stars in country music today, and I still have trouble sometimes distinguishing who I'm listening to. Because it does sound the same, and that's sad to say, but it's obviously what people are buying.
Yeah, I have to say, though, I do like the fact about country music, one thing, and that is they have kept, you know, their direction, I should say. Maybe some artists sound similar, but, you know, they've held on to some things that are good, you know, about country music.
Oh, absolutely.
I have to say that, but you might hear, I do hear what you're saying. You know, some people may sound like, you know, other people. That happens, you know. But I just think as far as the R&B though, the album I'm working on is getting back to what you were talking about before. You know, those songs, the variety. I have a lot of variety in this album. And I have a song, actually I wrote a song about, you know, bringing back, you know, those good sounds and those good melodies and things.
It's, you know, the thing is when I was growing up, and I guess pretty much when you were growing up, I'm in my middle 50s, so, you know, I was around back then, and I didn't realize, and I was younger, but I didn't realize that there were different genres. I thought everything was just top 40 pop music, and that's the way it went. You had the top 40 pop music, which included, you know, like you were saying, the Philly sound, the Detroit sound, and Motown, and all this other stuff. And then you had country. And now everybody's just kind of, it's all segregated. You have to go one place to get a taste of this and one place to get a taste of that. It's like you can't go in a restaurant and get steak and chicken at the same time.
I mean, you know, it's, you know, I was talking about, you know, this one day, I think in another interview, and I think it's a sign of the times that we're in. It seems like people don't want to take, this is a period of time where people don't want to take a chance, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why everything sounds the same. It's the same with cars. All the cars look the same.
They do.
You know? A lot of films, they copy each other, you know, and it happens with music too. If no one wants to take a chance on being different or innovative, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Coming up with something new, you know, as far as style is concerned. And I think that's the kind of rut we're in with creativity, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
But like I say, I'm one of those, you know, I have my own label, I have my creative freedom. And I can do what I want, you know. There's not some executives, you know, sitting over my shoulder, you know, saying, "Hey, Chris, you know, why don't you sound like this guy or this guy?" You know, I'm gonna sound like me, you know, and that's what people want. You know,
it is.
On Facebook a lot.
It really is.
On Facebook a lot, and they tell me, you know, please, you know, do some of the, you know, things that, you know, we like, you know, because people are, you know, really hungry for that sound, the sounds that they heard before, you know, the sounds that they grew up with, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, it brings you back. Music can take you to a different time and place. It can make you remember things that you didn't remember before, and you hear the song, and you go back to a different time, and you remember maybe what you were doing, or where you worked, or who you dated, or, you know, any of that kind of stuff. And it music really sticks with people a lot more than a TV show does.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. It's the soundtrack of our lives.
It really is.
Yeah, and But I get that a lot, and I like Facebook because of that, because I can get direct feedback from people. They can tell me, you know, what they liked, you know, what they didn't like, mm-hmm. you know. And it's very helpful to me, you know. And I think for some degree, you know, radio is, you know, not catching on to that, you know. A lot of the, what you call the mainstream radio, they're a little, you know, out of touch with what the people are looking for. You know, and they're looking for, you know, something that's lasting. And I always say that period of time, you know, that from the 60s, 70s, and even part of the 80s, that was a very special time in modern music, you know, at what was going on. And a lot of rappers, they sampled, you know, a lot of our songs. You know, I mean, a lot of them. I was getting like 3-4 samples per week at one time.
Hmm.
You know, and it's because I think the music is very special, and it's something that lasts. So, you know, people want that. They want to hear that kind of music.
I believe they do. They like what they're comfortable with, and I think a lot of times what you heard growing up makes you comfortable.
Yeah.
So, it's, you know, we just got to work together to change things, and
I'm trying to get back to it. I'm doing my part.
There you go. There you go. One person at a time.
Yeah.
So let's move on to today's music. You have a brand new single. You want to tell us?
Oh, yeah. It's called The One.
Uh-huh.
The album is also titled The One. And it's doing very well. You know, it's just getting out there. But England jumped on it first, and they, you know, it's number 13 on their soul chart. So, you know, we're moving right along. We're picking up stations every week, and I'm very excited about it, and I'm excited about the project, which I wanted to come out in August, and I'm finishing it up. And like I said, it has a lot of variety of things on it, and I think people will like it.
Have you considered putting it out in vinyl?
Oh, vinyl. I haven't thought about that yet, but, you know, I might. It's going to be a CD, of course.
Sure.
You know, of course, but... Yeah, I don't, you know, maybe I will. I don't know. Just, I have to give that some thought.
You know, it just seems like people are a little bit at a time moving back toward the older things. And you know, of course, yeah. Vinyl is about as old as radio itself, unless you get to the beeswax and that sort of stuff. But, you know, I just thought that'd be interesting if people started putting out more vinyl.
Mastering engineer, he says he's doing a lot of vinyl now.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
You know, that might be an option.
You know, the thing I think about with vinyl is the way we're set up today to get music, you get it as an MP3, you get it on a CD, you get it off the radio, whatever, and you're familiar with some of these people for the last 30 and 40 years and even further back. And if it was possible to be able to go to, say, chrisjasper.com, and you're huh?
That's exactly where you can go, chrisjasper.com.
but be able to get a vinyl, to get the album,
vinyl.
And say, yeah. You know, Chris, would you care to sign this for me?
Uh-huh.
And whether you play it or not, you take that vinyl and you put it in a frame and you put it up on your wall, and it becomes an heirloom.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's one thing I miss. I miss the album covers, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, the liner notes and all that stuff. That's really cool stuff.
It is, and you know, I'm a collector of that kind of thing, you know, and I think even when you meet with an artist and you bring back some of their old albums and stuff, I think that just flatters the crap out of people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had a couple years back, I met with the Oak Ridge Boys in Nashville, and I had found 3 old albums, and they were all 3 and still had plastic on them. And I took them in, and I set them down, and they're like, oh my God, we haven't seen anything like this in forever from people. So, you know, they sat down and they signed them all. And I got one on my wall now, you know, and I'll never take it down. And I just think it'd be a good idea that people maybe start thinking about that sort of thing, you know, as a collector's item. Maybe not something that you'd play every day.
Yeah.
Just an idea.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. Yeah, I'm gonna give that some thought. Maybe I will cut some files.
You know, at least just a few to sell to collectors, if nothing else. You know.
Uh huh.
So yeah, give that a thought. I think that's cool stuff. What you got coming up here in the next bit that we can talk about to let everybody know where to come see you?
Yeah, well, I'm going to finish this album. That's the first thing on the agenda, which I hope I'll be done, you know, in the next few weeks. And then I'll start lining up some appearances after that. And I'll have everything on my my calendar. On chrisjasper.com, my calendar, I'll be posting things,
okay,
you know, where I'm going to be. So, and that's where you can find everything, chrisjasper.com, the stores where to buy it, you know, iTunes, CD Baby, all that stuff, Amazon, all on chrisjasper.com. That's where you can find it.
So, with some of the social media, you mentioned Facebook. Do you, obviously you do,
yeah,
Facebook.
Facebook's do you, there too.
Do you
Facebook,
do Twitter?
It's all in, I Twitter. So if you go to chrisjasper.com, you'll see little icons that you can go to, you know, each one of those things. Everything is under chrisjasper.com.
Great. Is there anything else you'd like to tell us before I go into some credits and let you go?
I always love to thank the fans because I really do. I'm thankful for all of the years that they've supported me through all of those different stages. You know, Isaac Brothers, Isaac Death, Risley, and of course my solo career, and you know, and the people at radio like you, Steve, and you know, that air, you know, our interviews and play my records. You know, I'm very, very appreciative of those things. So I want people to know that.
Well, you know, I told you earlier, I appreciate you taking the time to call me, because what I do it as a hobby. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I've never made a dime off of any of my interview shows, my radio station, anything like that. Never made a dime off of it, and I don't care to. It's the fact that I get to do what a lot of people don't get to do and talk one-on-one with somebody that I've looked up to my whole life.
You know, see, that's what makes it more special, you know? That even makes it more special, that it, you know, it's something within you that you desire to do.
Absolutely.
That even makes it more special than being paid for it.
It's just phenomenal. You know, like I told you earlier, I work in a hospital, and I try to bring people out of their pain and their shell and that sort of thing by talking about music and some of the older people, nothing bad about that, but I mean just some of the older artists that I've got coming up. And it brings people out of their shell, and they're like, wow, you really get to do that? And it's like, yeah, because I want to bad enough.
Mm-hmm.
So I do appreciate your time. If you'll give me just a moment to go through some credits, I'll let you out of here.
All righty.
All right. Let's see here. Need to let everybody know that Stars on Tap is brought to you by LexingtonBroadcasting.com. It's Kicking Country USA for the best in top 40 country music on the internet. I'd like to thank my wife, Betty, who's our co-producer and also our technical advisor. She fixes what I tear up, and when I can't get it working, she'll get it working. And we love her for that. I'd like to thank our co-producer, Miss Rhea Roma, of Rez Rescues in the greater Los Angeles area, for working with us in these endeavors to have the Stars of Yesterday give us a call. And I'd also like to thank Jimmy Lawson, Space Coast Eye Radio in Florida for all they do to help us out and play some of these great shows and host some of the artists and that sort of thing. I'd like to mention OperationBlanketsOfLove.org, where you can take a linen item, a sheet, a blanket, anything you're not going to be using, and take it to an animal shelter and help make an animal a little bit more comfortable while they wait to be adopted. And I'd also like to mention SavingK9LivesPlus.org. My friend Bobby Kimball of Toto. They run a rescue operation for dogs and pets and stuff that are unfortunate in unfortunate situations in the Los Angeles area as well. And I'd also like to thank God for the opportunity of being able to speak to Chris Jasper today and bring the word of his new music to the world via the internet. And as always, I'm your host, Steve Martin. Until next time, enjoy the music.